Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome to talk to KER Politics. Got an awful lot of things going on in America this particular week, all culminated today. Today, Roe v. Wade was announced it was overturned, number one, on the federal level. You have to understand that it was overturned on the federal level. 26 states still do not allow abortions, however, that's an important thing to realize. Going on in the financial markets continue to bounce back a little bit today, and that's very positive. We're going to be talking about that. Not sure what Biden is doing, but Jimmy has his ear to the ground, and he's going to let us know exactly what Biden is handling all of this stuff. You know, there is so much pollen out here, I can't even talk. Jimmy, talk about whatever you want first. You're on, sir.
Okay, so let's go ahead and start with the biggest issue and the one that's inflaming political rhetoric, certainly on the left, and that's the Roe v. Wade situation. So this morning, the Supreme Court announced on a Friday, a very unusual announcement, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It basically a 6-3 opinion that supported the Missouri law the Mississippi law that allowed that basically stopped abortions at a very, very early point, and said, hey, look, in a 5-4 decision, that's Roberts dissenting, Roe v. Wade was unconstitutional. And so we've got a kind of a, in both cases, the Supreme Court basically overturned the standing precedent that the U.S., the federal government, could dictate whether or not a woman could destroy a child in the womb at an early age. But what is interesting about this, first of all, of course, that's because they know they're following a democratic process that allows controversial decisions out on Friday so that hopefully it fades over the weekend. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to be the case. They also made this decision in a split way where the John Roberts, actually dissented on overturning Roe v. Wade, giving the 5-4 decision. And that shows that he's basically succumbing to the political pressures.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And really, because there's no question that the Roe v. Wade decision, the initial Roe v. Wade decision, was unconstitutional. The Constitution did not give the power for an abortion. All these responsibilities go to the states. And remember, the decision here just gives those responsibilities to the states to make the decision. It does not give it to the federal government. And
correct.
That's an important distinction. However, this is a political motivator for the left. And just the unfortunate reality is that they are using this to mobilize their base in a very down year where it looks like, you know, there's a lot of dissatisfaction with what's happening in the United States with the immigration, with inflation, the economy, with overseas foreign affairs, and of course with general quality of life diminishing because of all these factors. They needed something to mobilize their base. And unfortunately, you're seeing that with senior political leaders, Nancy Pelosi, and numerous coming out today and hammering the decision, trying to fire up and motivate the young, people that really are inconsistent, that fail to understand what the legal precedent is here, and simultaneously undermining the credibility of the Supreme Court. And unfortunately, I think John Roberts falls into that category as Chief Justice by kind of causing this split decision here to make it look more separate. And unfortunately, we're going to see a lot of trouble over the next few weeks, possibly months, because of these inflammatory rhetoric remarks by the political leadership of the Democratic Party and progressives.
Well, the thing that I'd like you to explain to me and explain to our listeners, because I'm sure they don't understand it either, Nancy Pelosi threw venomous teeth this morning on C-SPAN, said you can blame Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump specifically. Our country is going down, down, down because of those two guys. What does Trump have to do with it?
Well, I think indirectly what she's saying is because Mitch McConnell did not allow a vote on Merrick Garland at the end of the Obama administration to fill the open Supreme Court seat after Justice Samuel Alito died.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the Supreme Court, very famous Supreme Court justice, is Chief Justice.
Right.
Or it was one of the justices. He passed away. So Garland was withheld a vote. And then, of course, Trump was over with Ginsburg's death and retirement from Anthony Kennedy, was able to appoint three Supreme Court justices. So that's the argument right now Justice Scalia's untimely death in 2016. That's the justification for blaming them, but at the same time, what they're doing is undermining the legitimacy of the Supreme Court, and they're ignoring the fact that, you know, Trump won that election, and of course they're arguing that, hey, elections count, and that's what they're pushing forward right now. So I think it's probably, in my view, a bad long-term political strategy, but it is inflaming activists on the left, and you're going to see some violence over it.
Well, unfortunately, the violence that's occurred so far has been very, very minor. At least I'm away from my sources right now, obviously, because you and I are recording. But I haven't seen any major riotous illegal disturbances in the United States yet because of the Roe v. Wade decision, Jim.
Well, we know that when the draft decision a couple of months ago was leaked, there was actually quite a few activities, and there has been since that time. There's been attacks on churches. There's been burning of Christian centers that support protecting women from abortion or helping them get through those issues without taking abortion. There's been the threat to Justice Kavanaugh, the individual that was arrested for attempting to murder him.
Right.
So we know that's before the actual decision was released. So we can expect some of these organizations have actually stated they're going to do a night of rage. We can expect, and Homeland Security is actually warning churches and Catholic institutions and Christian centers that there is a high probability of violence. And, you know, what they did in 2020, what the same activists did with the George Floyd type riots and the BLM and the Antifa type riots, you're going to see the mobilization of those groups attempting to do the same thing that they did 2 years ago that basically burned down over 200 cities, cost a couple of $1 billion damage. And I expect that they're going to attempt to mobilize their group, their base because of that. I think at this point, my prediction is that's going to backfire because people are pretty fed up with every other aspect of the economy, with the way this administration is handling many issues. And you see this rhetoric from our Democratic progressive leaders. I think a lot of people in the middle, especially Hispanics, are just done with it.
Well, I got to tell you, I would have to say that burning down churches, violence towards religious institutions, non-secular institutions, to be perfectly accurate, I think is the wrong thing to do. We as conservatives are stressing, in my neck of the woods anyway, beat this at the ballot box. Take issues that we disagree with, take them to the ballot box. That way there's no violence, and that way, assuming there's no shenanigans in the voting process, we get things accomplished in a non-violent manner. I hope and pray, Jim, I have to tell you that is what happens in this case. The abortion issue is very, very volatile, but let's not make it more dangerous by killing or destroying private property. Ladies and gentlemen, time for a commercial break. Stick around, I'm going to be right back.